Hi, welcome to the Storyworth podcast. We're glad you're here. I'm your host, Krista Baum, co-founder of Storyworth. On this podcast, we feature true stories written by Storyworth writers. If you're new to Storyworth, we help people write their life stories, the big stories and the small ones. Once a week, we send our writers a question to help inspire their writing. They reply to the email with an answer or story that comes to mind. At the end of the year, we print what they've written into a beautiful keepsake book. Every story written using Storyworth is private, but for this podcast, the writers volunteered to share their stories publicly with you.
My grandmother Rose has died. Funeral arrangements have to be made. The rabbi is speaking to my mother, trying to get a sense of who Rose was, to make the service more personal and meaningful. My mother is brief and to the point. I have nothing to tell you. Whatever you say is fine with me. Having come home from college for the funeral, I am saddened, but not surprised by the harshness of her response. As always, I'm left wondering what that's all about. But in this family, one doesn't question or pry into personal matters. Growing up on Long Island, we would often visit my grandparents, my mother's parents, who lived in Mount Vernon. I never knew my father's parents, as he was the youngest of eight, and they had died many years ago. My grandfather Ben and grandmother Rose lived in an old apartment building adjacent to a small, rather shabby park. I always enjoyed playing there, never seeing it as shabby, but instead as my own private and special place. My grandfather owned a small upholstery shop on the main street in town. I loved visiting there, not interested in the recovering of sofas and chairs, but because of the fascinating back room. My grandfather's hobby was raising canaries. The memory of walking through that room, lined on both sides with dozens of cages filled with these tiny singing creatures, was magical. Back at the apartment, with all of us together, the atmosphere was stressful and tense, not peaceful, and certainly not happy. Even as a young child, I sensed that something was not right. My mother was very caring and gentle with my grandfather, but totally different with my grandmother. They were constantly at each other, with so much anger simmering below the surface. When my grandfather died, it was a sad time. He was such a sweet and gentle man. Even though it was often hard to understand him, with his thick Eastern European accent, I never doubted his caring for me. Several years later, my grandmother, no longer able to live on her own, moved to an assisted living facility on Long Island. We would visit her occasionally, my mother always anxious, keeping the visits as brief as possible. Several years later, when she died, I would return to college and marry shortly after graduation. The following year, my new husband and I moved to Ithaca, New York, where my husband would attend law school and I would teach first grade. Several months later, I was newly pregnant. We were visiting my parents when the conversation turned to naming the baby. That's when my mother casually mentions that I am named after her mother. In the Jewish religion, you can only name a child after a relative that has died, never a living family member. So I was confused. I said, "What are you talking about? Your mother's name was Rose, and she just died a few years ago." My mother responds, "Oh, Rose wasn't my mother. My mother's name was Mary, and she died when I was 8 years old." I was shocked. The woman I had always thought of as my grandmother was not my grandmother, but a great aunt or a step-grandmother. How could I not know this? I felt angry, but I wasn't sure where the anger was coming from. I thought, if we had never had this conversation, would I have ever known this? Probably not. The abbreviated version of the story goes something like this. When Mary died, my grandfather was left with two small children, my mother and a 10-year-old brother. He couldn't raise them and run a business, so his solution was to send for his late wife's unmarried sister. She would come from Europe, they would be married and have another child, a daughter, Hilda, my mother's half-sister. I had known my Aunt Hilda my entire life, but never knew that they had different mothers. Unfortunately, I never heard the details, except that as my mother grew up in this new household, she wasn't treated very well by her stepmother and couldn't wait to leave home. Now, when I look back to my childhood, I can understand why she was so strict and always seemed so angry with my grandmother. Now, many years later, I regret never having had these conversations with her or learning more about her childhood. I envision a sad little girl who lost her mother and never regained that feeling of unconditional love and care. Perhaps Rose did the best she could, taking on a ready-made family which couldn't have been easy. I wonder, do children ever really know their parents? Is that even possible, to see them as a separate person with all the pain and sadness that's part of life? Was I able to do that? Probably not. At least not until they were gone and I became a parent myself. Years after my mother died, while looking through her things, I came across a photograph of my grandmother Mary, so young and lovely, forever unknowable. If she had lived, how different would my mother's life and perhaps mine have been?
Well, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Can you introduce yourself for me?
My name is Myrna Bell.
And where do you live, Myrna?
I live in Manhattan.
Oh, what do you like to do on a normal day in Manhattan? Do you have a routine or?
Nothing special. You know, get up and try to go to the gym or do some exercise and maybe during the day meet friends for lunch, you know.
For sure. Were you an only child? Tell me a little bit about how you grew up.
I have a younger brother. There's almost 6 years between us. So he was 12 when I went away to college, and then I got married right after college. We both live in the city now, and we spend so much time together. It's really nice. I mean, all these years later that we have a really nice relationship.
How did you get started with Storyworth? Did one of your boys give it to you? Or
Yes, my younger son, Jeffrey, gave it to me as a birthday gift. And the subscription is like for a year. Ideally, of course, you get your prompts and you're supposed to write a story every week, which I don't know about most people, but did not happen. And when the year was up, I renewed it on my own for another year.
Okay. So this was an interesting story category because it didn't really fall into a family secret per se, just mm-hmm. like a family, oh, I never mentioned it.
Oh, by the way. Yes. Right.
I was like, well, yeah, I mean, was this a pattern in your family?
I think so. You know, now that I'm thinking about it, it probably would have been a better title. Like, oh, by the way, would have been a more appropriate title.
Yeah. Do you mind if we use it?
I forgot to mention. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Right. I mean, they were good people, my parents, but they didn't really share much. My dad maybe would talk about growing up. He was the youngest of seven sons, so he had a lot of good, funny stories. But my mother, she really never said much at all, which mm-hmm. is interesting. If I hadn't been pregnant and that whole conversation hadn't come up, I probably would never have even known that because my father never told me and nobody else ever mentioned it either.
Well, what was your mom like? Was she like a fun mom? Was she just a responsible mom?
I always felt cared about, but we never had any really kind of close, meaningful conversations. Mm-hmm. When I got divorced, you know, I've been married to my second husband for a long time. So when I got divorced, it was like a really difficult, painful time for me. And my parents lived in Florida. And I'll never forget, my mother wrote me a letter and it was so out of character. I mean, the letter was so warm and caring and supportive and everything you want your mother to say to mm-hmm. you when you're going through a terrible time. So she obviously had that capacity, but general day-to-day, not really. She was very strict and very fearful. You know, as I got older and being a teenager, everything was like an argument. No, you cannot sleep over that person's house. No, you cannot go out with that boy. There were a lot of no's and a lot of things, you know, that I was not supposed to do or not allowed to do.
I'm wondering if you know the answer to this. Was your grandmother, your step-grandmother in this case, slash, mm-hmm. Was she sensitive about being the second wife?
Did your mom call
her mother? Like what?
She, you know what? I don't think she called her anything when I think about it. Even as a young child, I could pick up something that was wrong. You know, she was so warm and caring with my grandfather, with her father.
Yeah.
In those days, maybe that was not an unusual thing to do. You know, my grandmother's sister was back, I don't know, either in Russia or Poland. So she did come over and they did get married. And like I mentioned, they had another child. But growing up, interestingly, my mother had a great relationship with her half-sister. And when growing up, we used to see them all the time. So at least they were able to, you know, connect and really have a good relationship.
Yeah, that's great. You wrote at the end, I love the last couple paragraphs of this story. I just think they were really beautifully written, Myrna. Like you said, I wonder, do children ever really know their parents? Is that even possible? To see them as a separate person with all the pain and sadness as part of life. Was I able to do that? Probably not. at least not until they were gone and I became a parent myself. So you wrote, as you're writing your Storyworth memoir, is this part of your effort to be known and understood to your children and grandchildren? Is this a conscious thing?
I think so. For my grandchildren, but maybe even especially for my sons, maybe it would help them know me as a person and wouldn't be that like distance or mystery about it.
Yeah. Gosh, there was something else, your last bit, like your very last thing, how you summed it all up, I thought was also really good. You said, years after my mother died, while looking throughout her things, I came across a photograph of my grandmother, Mary. So young and lovely, forever unknowable. If she had lived, how different would my mother's life and perhaps mine have been? What ways do you think that would be a different mother-daughter relationship?
I don't know. Maybe that's wishful thinking, because I feel like each generation has an impact on the next one. And maybe if her mother hadn't died, she would have been a happier little girl and perhaps she would have been a different kind of mother.
Well, Myrna, thank you.
Thank you, Krista. I've really enjoyed the conversation.
You're a delight. I am so happy that we met.
Thanks for joining us today. If you want to get started writing your own book of life stories or want to give the gift of Storyworth to a loved one, head over to storyworth.com. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another heartfelt story from one of our writers. In the meantime, if you want one of your stories to be considered for the podcast, head to storyworth.com/podcast. Storyworth is a production of Evergreen Podcasts, hosted by me, Krista Baum, and produced by Aaron Land. Our sound engineer is Nate Corson, and we get production help from Wendy Sabrozo. Thanks, team. We'll see you next time.